don't know who you
don't
are.
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
a little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
I app. Find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed.
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You'd think
there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. This is Tech Talk, and you know what? I'm gonna blow off this interstitial music as much as I love Soul Coffin, because I believe we've got on the other line here, Mr. Dave Saganaki.
That's correct. Hi, everybody.
Oh my God. Oh wow. Holy cow. You sound fantastic, Dave. Seriously, the audio quality is astonishing to me. You almost sound like you're in the studio. This is fantastic. How are you doing, sir?
Just wonderful. I'm sending greetings from the shores of the Pacific Ocean here at La Playa Blanca, Panama, at the Hotel Resort. What's the name of this place? Sheraton Viajo.
Wow. So La Playa Blanco is the white beach. So it must have beautiful white sand beaches, I'm guessing.
They're not quite as nice as the panhandle of Florida, but they're not bad. It's very pretty. And the Pacific's not as nice as the Caribbean, but it's super warm. We already had a dip this morning and a nice breakfast and everything. And we're looking out at seven swimming pools, several fountains and hot tubs. And there's a lovely Caribbean music, Latin music playing. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful place.
Wow. And to top it all off, they clearly have far, far better internet and infrastructure than does Canada. So
this particular hotel, actually, the Wi-Fi at this hotel is better than many hotels I've stayed at in the U.S.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, the Wi-Fi in the U.S. hotels is really a mixed bag. I travel a fair amount, and I can tell you, it's rare. It's rare that I'm at a hotel where I can fire up Netflix on my laptop and actually have an enjoyable viewing experience. So that tells you right there.
Yes. So we're streaming audio, so that's not quite as fat a pipe demand as you'd have for Netflix, but it's pretty good. And so welcome. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Michael, what's new in technology?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It doesn't end this week. Where do you even, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly is really what it comes up to. I'll start with the good. I think if you're an Apple person, of course, the big news is that the iPhone 6 is out, and also too now some wearable iPhone watch stuff and all that great business and things that Steve Jobs is missing out on now, unfortunately. But all looks good. People seem excited about it. I'm not an Apple guy, so I look at it and I say, oh gosh, a bigger screen and NFC payments. I only had that with my Android 2 years ago, but hey, good for you. I'm excited
well,
for
well,
you.
Well, it's exciting. First of all, bigger screens on iPhones. Some people feel good about that, some not so much.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple Watch, for a long time in the rumor mill, it was called the iWatch. I'm really excited about the payments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The NFC payments, it's not, you kind of blew it off, but it's Apple.
Yep.
And it's better encryption. Maybe this finally, we moan and cry almost every week, or certainly once a month, we're talking about some new data breach. This could be an answer, and with the muscle of Apple behind it. Just remember that iTunes would have never gotten out off the ground without the persuasiveness and marketing muscle of Apple.
Yeah. Oh.
And their guarantees on the DRMs, which are out the window now, right?
Yeah.
But that was needed back in the day, in order for the record companies to get on board. Now it's a similar thing with the NFC payment.
Yep.
It has not been widely adopted, and it should be. And now with the Apple marketing muscle and brand strength, I think lots of folks might, lots more folks might get on board.
I'm totally with you. I absolutely. And I'm being a bit facetious when I, you know, break bad on Apple. They've done a lot of really great things, and that is one of the things that I'm hoping will change here. We've, like I said, I've had NFC on my phone since 2012, which is great, except that nobody uses it, you know, except unless you're in California, from what I hear, you can't, it always frustrates me. I can't go into a store and use my Google Wallet or use my NFC payment structure or the other stuff to actually swipe and pay it. You know, you've got a couple of vendors have picked it up. Starbucks, most notably, has got their own built-in app swiper business. That's not an NFC payment. That's as close as we're seeing in most places today. True NFC payment, for people that aren't familiar with it. So NFC, we should do a little tech breakdown on this. NFC stands for Near Field Communications, and what it is it's a way of broadcasting information very, very, you know, minimal space. So it's not like you can do it from 15 feet away and beam it, or like your Bluetooth connection kind of thing. It's literally just in a small area, near field communications, and it's got a two-factor authentication for your credit information. So it not only needs your phone piece there, but there's always one additional piece of confirmation, and that can be a biometric piece like your thumbprint, or it could be a passcode, a number or something, usually like a four number pin, that sort of thing, so that it's not as easy to steal and take and use somewhere else. If someone just grabs your phone, for example, they can't start paying for everything with your phone. So it's a neat thing. It's incredibly useful. It would mean for a lot of people, such as myself, I would not need to carry a full wallet anymore. I might just need my phone and my driver's license, something like that. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Google Wallet, too, and Apple Pay is going to include some of the features of Google Wallet. One of the things that they're doing differently, though, is they're not going to be charging necessarily the store. They're going to charge the banks that are doing this with a small transaction fee of around, I guess it's 0.15% of whatever the purchase is. So for every $100, they'll make $1.50, and that's going to go straight to Apple. So interesting.
Well, it'll be interesting. Well, and Apple, by the way, this is nothing new for Apple. Apple's had NFC for a while. What the big breakthrough here is, I guess, the level of security, right?
And they've created now a true, just like they did with iTunes. You mentioned, you hit it on the nose. You know, they're creating a true sort of ecosystem built around that NFC and the payment. They've got the encryption in place, just like they did with the DRM on iTunes, and they've got an app that's going to be, I'm sure, just, you know, blindingly easy to use for even the most tech-challenged consumer to be able to go in there, use their credit cards as part of the Apple iPay system and actually start using NFC. Now it's a little bit of a chicken and the egg issue, though. Of course, you're going to have all these consumers now that have the ability to pay with this new technology, or relatively new technology, but it's going to be the businesses that have to pick up the stick now and actually invest in and have available at their point of sale, you know, an NFC reader and the ability to take that.
I think retailers, I think people on the internet have been way too slow to respond to all these security threats. This should not be how long ago was it we were talking about data breaches? I can't remember. Was it 5 years ago, 8 years ago?
Yeah.
And it's only increased in frequency and dollars. Why is this taking so long to address? Why is there so much malware? We've gotten acclimated to this increase, and it's to me it's unacceptable. It's time we, you know, marched in the streets with pitchforks and, you know, and iPads on the end of pitchforks.
And Home Depot is the most recent one, and then Google, Gmail, supposedly 6 million logins and passwords got posted out in Russia. There on that, and this is Google. That's my boy, Google. They're having problems. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. But
yeah. Well, they're busy, you know, trying to figure out ways to make money as opposed to figuring out how, you know, how, you know, these years ago, you know, the credit cards companies, they would have one or two or 3% loss to fraud in such a year, and they saw that as an acceptable loss given the great volume of business they were doing. But and I suspect now the online and retailers are looking at it the same way. These are acceptable losses. Well, it's acceptable to them. It's not acceptable to us. It's not acceptable to the consumer. It's not acceptable to the average Joe on the internet, I don't think.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think, unfortunately, we're sort of in a stage or a state where it feels like as an individual consumer, we don't have a lot of control over that. And that's where, you know, organizations like the, you know, Electronic Frontier and the privacy organizations and foundations really kind of make their way and are able to make differences in a way that as individuals, it's tough for us too. You know, and especially with the NFC stuff, if it turns out that's not secure too for some reason, but we're at a stage where, you know, it's like today, you know, if you said, hey, I'm not going to use my credit card anymore. I'm not going to have a credit card because, you know, it keeps getting stolen. How do you survive? What do you do?
Well, you whip out your iPhone, right?
I think
you have to have a credit card. Well, that's the other. That's, I don't know how much we talked about that. I had stuff like that set aside. I can't recall whether we talked about it on air. In the third world now, the phone companies are the bank.
Yes.
Because people are doing payments with their phones and people that don't have credit cards and such.
Mm-hmm.
So is that going to be the new paradigm that that the Apples and the Googles are going to be the new financial services companies? Is that what we're evolving to?
I think it's going that way. Yeah, absolutely. Already, one of the things. I don't know enough, unfortunately, about the iPay thing, Apple Pay, to know if it works the same way. But I know with Google Wallet, for example, I can load Google Wallet up with cash, and so it doesn't even need a credit card from me or anything like that. I can just put cash in there. And that then is used to pay. And that cash, in fact, that's in there can even be taken out. I can go to, if it's configured properly, you can go and you can get from Google a credit card or an ATM type card that will allow you to pull that money in and out. So basically replacing your bank in many ways, but without the interest. And
In the third world, that's there's no bank involved. What they do is they have to pay as you go phone card.
Mm-hmm.
They it's just like that. Only now that phone card, you can use that for transactions. You can use that for purchase transactions and such.
Yeah.
If you have enough credit on your topped up pay as you go card.
Yep. Yeah. And I keep expecting to hear rumblings from the PayPal crowd and having them getting involved with this, because of course they've been doing this kind of thing for a very, very long time and connecting your bank accounts or allowing you to do, you know, post-purchase payment and pre-purchase loading of cash into your PayPal account. Now PayPal had its own security issues as well just a few years ago, and in fact I personally was caught up in one of the security breaches. There was a some sort of programmatic hack that had been done that made all of these microtransactions occur between users. And I don't know how people were getting the money out of it, but they were somehow. And I had to, you know, I had to file a report with PayPal. Fortunately, there wasn't any personal information that was stolen, but I had to file a report with PayPal and they took care of it. They did take care of it. I did not wind up losing any money at all, but boy, what a hassle. And also too, a blast of cold water in the face to say, you know, it really, there isn't anywhere that's safe anymore.
Well, no, that's always an illusion we have as human beings. We like to think that we're safe, but we seldom are.
Yeah.
Are you going to try and contact Jay Garman today? Or
he sent me an email, and unfortunately, you know, he's kind of like out and about and all that. He did give me information though. If we wanted to do it, we could try to cover the info online here.
Sure. There's no replacing Jay Garman, but we can take a shot at.
Yeah, well, and we've got, and I haven't mentioned it yet for listeners, we've got in just a few minutes coming on is going to be Mr. Ben Williams of AdBlock Plus. So we're talking about ways to protect ourselves online. Now, AdBlock Plus doesn't do, you know, identity theft protection, but it does prevent you from accidentally or, you know, inadvertently going to a lot of these sites that have malware because they block the avenues, one of the avenues that you would be exposed to that, which is by these ads, you know, uncleared ads that come through your browser all the time. Well, let me do a quick break on Jay, what he would have talked with us himself. And again, clearly not going to do as good a job as no. Jay Geek Trivia.
Give it a shot, Garmin's, though. But I'll just sit here and make fun of you.
Okay. That's good. It's like, you know, it feels like being at home. Okay, so the pending question we had was we're talking about Google right now and Apple. So whose garage was Google actually started in? And, you know, the idea always was that you were going to have Sergey Brin's garage or something like this. It turns out it's not. It's not at all. Google was started as a private company in the garage of Susan Wojcicki. And she has been called the most powerful woman in advertising and the greatest Googler that you've never heard of. When Larry and Sergey got their first $100,000 investment, they left Stanford, which is where Google was actually invented. So they dropped out of school. Then they went looking for cheap office space, but couldn't really find any. Wojcicki, though, had a garage in Menlo Park, California, and she rented that to the pair back, way back, way, way back in the September of 1998. So now Wojcicki and her sister Anna, so that was Susan, but Anna, they became very close to Larry and Sergey, but in very different ways. In fact, Anna wound up marrying Sergey Brin, and then Susan headed up Google's first advertising division, and along the way, and helped invent Google's AdSense and AdWords technology. So this is a perfect segue into all of the stuff we're going to do today.
That's fantastic.
And Jay does.
I wish they would have asked to use my garage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would have been I'm more than happy to. You know, and this is the thing. If some, you know, young punks come up to you and say, hey, I notice you're not using half your garage. you mind if I set up a few computers? You know, you might want to say, OK, you know, go for it.
For anybody that needs to know, I have a garage for rent in Fox Lake. If anybody, you know, somebody smart wants to rent it, I'm open.
There you go. You just need a little taste of equity. That's all we're looking for. So the next question he asked was, Jay actually gave us a question for next week, too. Next question, 46 years ago this week, the Soviet spacecraft Zond 5 was the first to accomplish a feat that is often wrongly attributed to the Apollo program, who we all know and love. What incredibly important space flight first did Zond 5 actually accomplish? Not Apollo. So that's I have no idea. I love the space questions too. And I should mention as well, we're part right now, Dave, I don't know if you know this, we're part right now of Geek Block, which is a block of geek time that we're doing, starting with the Tech Talk Hour, which we're doing right now. And then immediately after us, of course, is Rob Shot First, Rob Rigel. Well, we're doing some fundraising around that. And if you go to www.crowdrise.com/2014 WRLR Radiothon, which, you know, if you don't remember that, go to our website, WRLR.fm. There's links there too. What you're going to want to do is go in, you're going to want to donate at least $25, because if you do, you get a free t-shirt.
That's almost as much as the WRLR t-shirts cost.
Well, exactly.
I might very well get online and donate myself.
Get two.
I didn't realize we're giving out t-shirts.
You need to get two.
Everybody.
One for you and Jay.
Jump on. There's nothing cooler than a WRLR t-shirt, no matter where you are in the world. I'm wearing my WRLR t-shirt right now, and people are just in awe here in Panama.
I believe it may not be the t-shirt. It might be those the banana colored Speedos you got underneath it. But
yeah. I've got the special really old guy Speedos, you know, with the extra.
Are there any other kind?
Extra room.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's wonderful. You know, WRLR is a fantastic organization, very active in the community. We do the community does so much for us, and we try to return the favor and get good information out there and do what we can to raise the profile of County and the Round Lake area, and to benefit businesses and kids and schools. We have interns that come in to learn about the broadcasting arts, and churches. We have churches come in and do broadcasts. Any aspect of community life you can think of, WRLR is involved in, and we deserve your support. Please give us a few bucks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really comes down to not just, you know, oh, hey, it's a bunch of guys on microphones. This is the voice of your community. If you're in this community, if you're in Lake County, this is your voice. This is how people hear about the local stuff that's happening. This is how people get introduced to the fact that we have a tremendous amount of programs, social and otherwise. This is how people find out about businesses they didn't know about before in their local community and get to talk to and hear from people there. This is your voice. Support your voice. Make sure that your voice is heard. It's a great thing. It's a great thing all around. I've loved and enjoyed and been so blessed and honored to be a part of this organization for as long as I have, and can't speak highly enough about it and the people involved. And this is your chance to not only get involved, but, you know, show your colors. Get a T-shirt. Put that on.
Yeah. Where else can you learn so much about local politics or high school sports? Mm-hmm. I just the list goes on and on. I didn't have anything prepared to speak. I'm speaking off the top of my head, and you know I've got a couple of margaritas in me. No, I'm just kidding. but there's so much that of value that never mind what's presented on the air, but just what, you know, the learning process that people go through, and even if they choose not to take up broadcasting, folks are lifted up by their experience. Kids come in, or somebody might come in that was shy. I can think of several on-air personalities that came in. They were so shy you couldn't get a word out of them. Now you can't shut them up, mm-hmm. which is not necessarily a good thing. But the point is that it raised their confidence level and made them more valuable members of their community, and now they participate more strongly in their community.
Yep, exactly. Hey, you know what? I should probably now see if I can bring in Ben Williams from AdBlock Plus. Can you stick around with this, or do I need to cut you loose?
My apologies to the listeners and to you, but I do have something else to do here, believe it or not.
What? In paradise, they're going to make you do stuff, too. I don't know.
It's paradise stuff. I got paradise stuff to do. I made an appointment for having fun. So
all right, I guess that's all
I'm
right.
Not having fun. I'm having a ball now, but I'm going to go have a ball somewhere else.
All right.
So good luck with the radiothon to the station, and great talking to you. I'm glad we were able to get a good connection to make it. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias, señoras y señoritas. Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you.
we'll try and get a hold of you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great time, Dave. We'll talk soon then.
Knock 'em dead.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dave Sparky Saganaki calling us from Panama. What is up with that, man? He must love you guys, I think, is the bottom line there, which is just a great thing. A lot of fun. Now, I am going to try here to see if I can bring on Ben Williams. Ben, I don't know if you're listening to us, but if you don't normally listen to us, what you'll hear right now is our typical kind of struggle to try and make all of the lines connect properly and have everything work together. So I'm going to do this right now. Let's see if we can make this happen. Blah, 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 blah. All right. So I've got, you know what I've got going on right here. So this is the interesting thing here with AdBlock Plus. Now, AdBlock Plus is a cool thing, and you're going to like hearing about this. But the really neat thing with it is that or with this making this whole connection here happen is that Ben is in Germany. So we're calling Ben in Germany right now and seeing if we can connect to him and get a good solid connection. So if this works, I think we did earn our stripes as the Tech Talk show today. And I hear it ringing, so that's a good sign right there.
Hello?
Good morning, Ben Williams from AdBlock Plus. You are on the air with Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 FM. How are you doing this morning?
Hanging in there. How about you, Michael?
Very good. Very good. As promised, we were a little bit on the more than less. I apologize for going over a few minutes on when I promised that we would call and bring you in. We've still got a good solid 30 minutes to talk, though, and I've been trying to let people know a little bit about AdBlock Plus and what it is, but I was hoping you, and I'm sure you can do a much better job than I did. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and about AdBlock Plus?
Well, my name's Ben. I'm originally from Kentucky, so not too far away from where you guys are in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I now work at a company that's based in Germany. Actually, I'm calling you today from Bonn. The company is based in Cologne. And we make an extension, which is called AdBlock Plus. And AdBlock Plus, what it does is it's a completely free extension that you can put into your browser. So you can put it on Firefox, on Chrome, on Internet Explorer, what have you. And what it does is it blocks the annoying ads. So the big banners you see when you go on a web page, or the pop-ups that you see, or all the annoying stuff, the 30-second pre-roll ads that you see on YouTube, it takes care of all that stuff so that you can surf the web without the headache.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it works exactly as advertised. I can testify. I actually have AdBlock Plus myself. I'm a big Chrome user, and so the Chrome extension for it is just dead easy to put in. And I'll make sure that, of course, that everyone has links to this from our podcast page. If you go to techtalkwrlr.com, you'll be able to get right into that. So it's a really neat kind of problem. We were talking a little bit earlier, just before the show, about, I want to share with people, like, how do you make this work? You know, how does it identify that there's an ad on there at all, let alone be able to say, well, this is an annoying one and that one shouldn't be in your page, so we're going to wipe and clear this out. How do you make that happen?
Right. So, what it is, it's based on a series of filter lists, and, filter lists basically are just big, long lists of ads that identify the ads on pages. So you might think that we send out this huge crawler across the web and that it, you know, goes off and like gobbles up all the ads, but it's actually impossible to do it that way. So what you have to do is you have to have all the ads out there, basically, on this list. And the lists are open source. And I'm not sure if everybody out there knows what open source is, but basically open source development means that you make the code open so anyone can fork it. But that can also be to your advantage, because while anybody can take the code, also anyone can contribute to it. And in our case, keeping track of these huge filter lists is something that's done by an open source community. So you guys are community radio. I found that out in the 5 minutes I was doing research just a second ago. So it works in a similar way. There's an open source community out there, and they go around and they make sure that the filter lists are up to date. And there are a number of filter lists that go into AdBlock Plus, and it's sort of like the manager. It sits in your browser, and it makes sure that those ads that are on the list aren't loaded onto your page.
Mm. And it really works pretty much on any page. I mean, you know, people, I know you'd mentioned YouTube, but also Facebook and, you know, all of the major places that we're constantly having these ads pushed into our faces. It's not exclusive to just a couple of websites.
Right. It's anywhere and everywhere where you'd see an ad, we're going to know about it. The thing is over the years, web ads have just become more and more intrusive, and they cause your page to load slower, and they distract you from what you're doing, and they're just plain annoying. I mean, who wants to be forced to watch a 30-second video before they watch the video they actually want to see? And so basically what we do is we provide a solution for that. And, the great thing about it, it's completely free, and you don't have to restart your computer to put it on there. It updates automatically. Mm-hmm. So you basically install it and forget about it.
Yeah, and that's a great point, too. I want to bring this up. So it's completely free. It is open source, or at least it pulls on open source information. The installation and the plugins and things that you can use, completely free to people. And of course, the point of it is to block out one of the ways that these free or freemium services can continue to exist. But how do you guys exist then, since you're clearly you're not putting AdBlock Plus ads in my face? And even if you did, yeah, that wouldn't do you any good because the product is free.
Right. I mean, like most open source products, we had to think of sort of a B2B solution. So basically, we had to think of a way. Well, how can we charge other companies? But it didn't come about that way, basically, because it started out as a hobby. It was one developer. His name is Vladimir Palant, if you're interested. And Vladimir just did this in his spare time. Hmm. He maintained it. And that was in 2006. And he did it, and he blocked every ad on the internet from 2006 to 2011. But in 2011, two things happened. One, it was getting unsustainable for one guy, because at that time he was just on Firefox. And it was on, he was getting up into the tens of millions of users. And he was like, you know, I can't do this alone anymore. Mm-hmm. And the second thing he said was, you know, a lot of the content that you see out there is based upon ads. It's free to look at because you see the ad. So there's this implicit agreement between you, the user, and the site owner that you're going to see the ads, and therefore you get the content for free. So he said, you know, with this growing ad blocker use, it's getting a little out of hand. We're threatening that model, which is kind of great. It's kind of awesome that you can go to a site and you get the content there for free. So what he said is there's got to be a better type of ad out there. So, this was a long process, but they went to our community and they said, guys, what do you think would be a better ad? And so they came up with these criteria for what could be a better ad. And so that's what started what we call our acceptable ads program. And there are criteria for better ads. And if you apply to be on our list and you meet those criteria, then you get through and those ads are through by default. Mm. Most of the people who apply to that list, over 90% are on there for free, but 10%, the really big players out there, they have to pay for that. Mm. And so that's how we're able to make a little bit of money and hopefully encourage better ads. That's sort of the bigger point is you know, we want to say you don't have to scream for somebody's attention to get their attention. If you're relevant, if you're quiet, and if you're legit, mm-hmm. if you're not like a, you know, malvertising or something like that, then people are more apt to engage with you. And, so that's what we've been doing since about 2011. It's going pretty well. Mm-hmm. And, we think that hopefully it'll encourage better ads out there.
Yeah, and I think that's a neat and important point to stress as well, is that, you know, the point of AdBlock Plus is not necessarily to say we're going to kill all advertising on the internet, because obviously that would have some repercussions that none of us want. It's really to kind of set up, and you actually I know that you actually have an acceptable ads manifesto that people can sign to say, look, we don't want these things in our faces like this. This is not appropriate, and it detracts so much from my experience on the internet that it actually hurts everybody. We want to promote and support ads that are actually beneficial to people, giving them information or giving them links to things that are actually, as you mentioned, legitimate. They're at our discretion to do them or not. We're not forced to get through them. And I think that's a worthy goal. Now people can also though choose to say, I don't even want to see acceptable ads. I want to have every single ad that you recognize just shut down and turned off. Is that correct?
That's true. And so we felt like we had to build that in there because there are a certain amount of people who don't want to see any ads, and they don't care if they hurt the internet ecosystem. And we felt like, you know, that's what we offered before, so we have to, you know, continue to offer that. We're like you. We think that there are better ads out there. I mean, I don't know how many of you listeners out there actually are users of AdBlock Plus, but if you ever notice in the icon up at the top, especially in Chrome, it'll count the number of ads that are on the page. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you'll get up into like these ridiculous numbers of ads. Well, I frankly don't have the attention span to see 15, 20 ads on a page. Give me one or two legitimate ones that aren't in my way and are labeled correctly, and I might actually engage with them. And mm-hmm. that's sort of the idea, because ads online have just gotten, it's just crazy. It's a bonanza out there. It's the Wild West.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that. Actually, it's one of the things that I really appreciate with AdBlock Plus is that you can see exactly how many, how many ads it's blocking. You also, too, have a process for if there's an ad that you own that's being blocked and you think it should be whitelisted because and it's being inappropriately removed, you can submit for that or the opposite extreme too. If there's one that keeps getting in your face on, you know, some page, you can report that one too and say, you know, this one should be blocked and you're missing it.
Right. Right. I mean, the whole process is open, on our forum. So if you feel like that, you know, there are ads out there that, you know, they all go through an application process. So we have to actually personally approve of every ad out there. But if you think that we've gone too far in one direction, then you can let us know on the forum, or you can just let us know the way that you said just a second ago. Mm-hmm. The whole thing about it is, I mean, I guess to go a level deeper, is that it's your internet, it's your browser, and the internet isn't quite like a newspaper or a magazine or your television, and it never really has been. You basically, as a user, determine how the internet should look, and we are very much for that, the continuance of that. Mm-hmm. There are some people out there who sort of presume to own the internet, and we think that you, Michael, and I, Ben, and everybody out there who's listening, that all of us are the ones who control our screens. And so to allow them to do that, there are a lot of tools out there, and we're just one of them. So that's why if you want to whitelist a specific site, for instance, like I personally like to collect records, right? So there's this site called Discogs, and I whitelist Discogs. And I do it just because I personally want to support those guys. Even though the ads may be a little bit annoying, it's my, you know, personal preference to do so. And that's sort of, you know, philosophically where we come down to. And so we think, you know, it's your internet. It's a user-determined internet. Do with it what you want.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not about, and I think what it does help us with too is, you know, there does seem to be a sense that we're assaulted constantly, and many of the ad assaults are not even, like you say, the legitimate ones, but is also using AdBlock Plus is a way to protect yourself from the very illegitimate type of ads that are becoming more and more prevalent, that take you to malware-infected sites, that take you to places that are not legitimate and are just trying to steal your information or, you know, take money out of your pocket with no return, and that's a great thing to have. Just one extra level of protection from some of these things, you know. And I think that's a good. Has that ever been like part of the focus? Do you see you guys, in AdBlock Plus, making more of an effort to, you know, ensure that those are blocked specifically, or does it kind of just filter out anyways?
Well, we have some things that you can add on additionally. They're basically just additional filter lists. And these features will allow you, for instance, not to be tracked if you're interested in that. We also have a malware protection feature. And on that, basically, we have all of the known malware domains that we can keep on a list. And if you enable that, then there's much less chance that you're going to be infected with malware. The false belief out there is that there's something that's going to protect you 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. There's always a chance that someone can get to you. But as you said before, you want to have enough tools in your toolbox to protect against that. And I don't know if you saw the last week, Cisco actually uncovered this big malvertising thing. It was called Stan and Kyle, after the South Park characters. And basically what it was is these guys had infected a huge number of ad networks. And so if you went to a site that, served one of those ads from one of those ad networks, you very well may have gotten some malware on your computer. And the difference one with this is that it actually worked on Macs and on PCs. You know, I'm a Mac user, and generally I don't worry about stuff like that. But, you know, people who, you know, the bad guys are getting smarter every day. So, yeah, I mean, to get back to your original question, Yeah, there, it's one of those tools out there that can protect you against threats like that.
Yeah. And that, and you're right. I mean, that's a great great example to bring up is and that was not on the websites that you would, you know, you'd normally trust specific places that you go to and think, well, if the ad is here, it's probably not, you know, completely horrible. But no, these ads, this malware or malvertising, I'm sorry, was being placed on websites that you would implicitly trust, you know, including Amazon, including WinRAR.com, YouTube.com, places like this. And so that's, you know, it's crazy. It's really crazy that type of thing can get through, and you really just can't trust anybody.
Yes. It's DTA on the internet. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Don't trust anybody. And the thing is those are completely legitimate networks that everybody does and should trust. It's just that ad networks, they buy such a large amount of inventory, of ad inventory, and they spread it out to publishers out there who then put it up on their site, that they can't keep track. Even the biggest, even the most credible ones out there can't keep track of that entire inventory.
Yeah.
It's easy for people to sneak something nasty in there. And this was another example of just that. I don't know actually if they've gotten that one solved yet. I think it was like the beginning of last week when they uncovered it. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen a resolution for it specifically. You know, and that kind of speaks to this whole issue is the way that our advertising structure on the internet works is that it's not end user consumer friendly. It really is dedicated to the easiest way that these advertisers can distribute to as many people as possible, which I get that, and that's a good thing in many ways, but it also leads to this type of abuse and these issues, and looking for ways to prevent and stop that is a good thing. Now, I noticed too that you have a lot of capabilities within the system, including the ability to add your own filters. You can whitelist your own domains. You can add and do a lot of different things as well. What percentage of your users do you think even bother to try and get into and explore and use some of those advanced features that are available there?
I'd actually say a pretty small amount. I would hesitate to guess, but I would imagine that it's fairly small. And the only reason for it is because it's actually kind of a compliment to the software is that you install it and then you don't do anything and it works perfectly. And you never have to update it because it updates automatically. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that there are a huge amount of people out there who do that. But there are, of course, always the techies out there who are going to explore every, you know, inch of everything that they own. They're kind of like, you know, 20 years ago or so, the people who read the entire instruction manual. And I'm one of those people, so I'm not putting anybody down. I look at every way that I can flex a product that I own, including an extension or an app. And I doubt too many people look at that, but we're trying to improve the UI right now so that it's easier for everybody to jump into that section, and it's not just something that a really tech interested person would be would then activate.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and my first thought when I saw like the add your own filter piece, and there's a link so you can figure out what the AdBlock Plus filter syntax is and all that. And I have just enough of a programming background that I was thinking, oh gosh, you know, this should not be tough to give you, a right click option on your browser to say block this ad and have it automatically add the correct syntax to your filter list. That type of advancement. Is that one of the things that you're kind of looking to move towards in the future, especially now that I know that you recently partnered or became part of IO as well? Do you see that changing the direction for AdBlock Plus in any way?
Definitely. IO actually, when we started Acceptable Ads, that's when IO started. So we've been sort of under IO since 2011.
Okay.
But definitely going back to your first point, yeah, that's absolutely the direction that we want to go in. We want to make it so that everybody you know and everybody in your family can engage with the extension, because you really can, if you know how to do so, flex its muscles. And it's a very good criticism. Right now, especially in Firefox, I think Chrome, the UI is quite a bit better. But especially in Firefox, I think that there's room for us to improve it so that everybody else can see what's out there. And that's part of what this extension does, and other ones like it, is to show you how the Internet works in a language that you understand. What most people don't know when they go to a website is the amount of people who are actually on that site. You can think of a website, I think, is like just a canvas, and then you have a number of projectors that are projecting the things, the elements on that page. And most people have no idea. Most people have no idea that there are trackers out there that are completely invisible that are injected into the page. And that's why when you buy a pair of shoes, let's say you buy a pair of New Balance, that you know, a couple weeks later, you get an ad somewhere online that's for a pair of New Balance because there was a tracker on there. And that information was then sold to an advertising company who said, oh, Michael, he really likes New Balance, so we're going to show him some more New Balance shoes.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even
take a couple of weeks. I was going to say, it doesn't even take a couple of weeks. I'll do a Google search for something, or I'll go on Amazon and find a product, and it's the very next web page I go to. It's throwing me ads about whatever it was that I did a search for. So,
absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. I actually bought a pair of shoes, had them sent to me, and I immediately was seeing ads that were of the exact same pair of shoes. So yes, I was very interested in buying two pairs of shoes just in case the first one wasn't good enough for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it becomes almost humorous at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, most people don't really understand why that sort of thing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's something creepy and maybe weird about it, but most people aren't, I wouldn't say, interested enough in digging deeper and saying, well, why am I getting this at? How do they know that I went on vacation to the Florida Keys this year?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point too. You know, most people, I believe, that are using the internet, and especially too, you know, my younger than my generation, perhaps, you know, don't remember the days of the BBSs and where everything was kind of green screen code and all that, and don't make that connection in your head that, hey, you know, I'm going to this website and there's all pictures and it's colors and it's looks very clean and slick, but that's not like a picture in your newspaper. This is all built up using lines and lines of code, you know, and even the baseline stuff that we get access to easily, the HTML and the JavaScript stuff, you can easily build into that a ton of stuff that doesn't present any images or any information on the screen, but does work behind the scenes to either pull information from you or at least to register and track information into their own data systems, and thus, you know, kind of perpetuating that, you know, the cookies that we hear about and all the other stuff, ways that we can associate you with products and try to target ads intrusively into your environment and detracting from your internet experience over and over again.
Right, right. Most people just aren't quite aware of all that stuff. It's a black box,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we we had one of the team members, one of the devs, the developers, he actually wrote a blog post about the amount of third parties that were on a certain site. And so he just went to a very reputable news site, and he found that there were upwards of 30, I mean, actually almost closer to 40 different parties on that one site. So if you go to, I don't know, this was actually Reuters, I can name it. So if you go to Reuters, it's not just Reuters who owns that space. Reuters is renting that out to a lot of people who inject a lot of different elements onto that page.
That's a really good point, and that's an amazing number too. I would not have guessed 30, especially on a site like Reuters. But yeah, you think about it. And of course, we have our own webpage here, you know, with Tech Talk. And I mentioned that at techtalkwrlr.com. And that's great. And the nice thing about it is I can go to it with AdBlock Plus, and with the default settings on, it's not blocking any of our ads. But I know from my experience with it, the ads that we have are, yeah, they, you know, they change all the time, because what I've done is you give space to these other companies who then cycle through ads depending on the time and what they're doing with it. And I have no control over it. I don't have any control, not directly, you know, once it's set up in that manner. And that's true for every site that you go to.
Yeah, and it's actually fine. I mean, it's the way that the internet works. It's just it's just something that isn't really out there in common knowledge. Most people assume that if you go to WRLR, then you are controlling every bit of information that is onto that, is beamed onto that site. In reality, you only have a certain amount of control, especially if you buy ads at inventory, because you really can't know which ads are coming on there. And then we get into sort of the publisher side of things, you know, how it's a problem for a lot of publishers, I believe, out there, who serve quite a few ads, because they're stuck in this dilemma. They feel like they have to serve display ads, but display ads get terrible click-through rates. But they just don't have another way, another way around it. So they have to serve these bad ads that are being beamed in from various ad servers, because they really just don't have a better alternative out there.
Yeah.
And so that's again, that's sort of where we come in. We preach the less relevant ads that you have there are actually the better.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely. And you know what, Ben, I apologize. I warned you I was going to do this. I've got to now just bring us to a close and take us down. I know people know this already, I'm sure, but where, no matter what browser you have, what is the best place to start to go find out more about AdBlock Plus, and if you want to get that put in on your PC?
So just go to adblockplus.org, then it'll detect what browser you're using, and you can hit install. And it's done in about two clicks. And you can do it for basically any browser you have out there, from Safari to Opera to of course, the big ones, Chrome and Firefox. Mm-hmm. And we even make one for an Android device. So if you have an Android phone or a tablet out there, you can also download our app as well.
Ah, very cool. That was the one thing that I had on my list I wanted to touch, and we didn't get to, was you can use it for mobile devices, so people should know about that as well. And yeah, absolutely, adblockplus.org. I will also have those links available on our websites so that people can find it easily. And I'm a big fan. Ben, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to explain a little bit more about it and hopefully share this information with people that might not have been exposed to it yet.
Oh, Michael, you bet. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, have a great, great day, and we'll look forward to maybe hearing from you again when the next big thing comes around with AdBlock and IO.
Most definitely. I'd love to come by. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye. That was Ben Williams, AdBlock Plus, and we're continuing our Geek Block. I got Rob Rigel coming in right now with Rob Schott. First, he's going to be in here in just a moment. I am actually going to close us out right now. In fact, I think we're right at that moment. I don't know how that happens every week. I always think I got so much time. I'm so totally on track, and somehow it just never quite turns out that way. I'm going to throw in since we are doing the our great efforts this week to bring new people in and get people involved with the station and make sure that we get our Geek Block donations up. I'm going to mention that again. I'm not going to play a podcast-only song of the week. If you are a podcast listener, you're going to get to hear something that nobody else did. But for right now, all I'm going to tell you is go to www.crowdrise.com/2014 WRLR Radiothon, or just go to WRLR. You'll find the links for it there too, or on our Facebook pages. And it's great. If you donate $25, you'll get a free WRLR t-shirt. You can wear that with pride. All right. And at that, I'm going to say goodbye. Thanks. You guys have been listening to Tech Talk on WRLR.
In the cubicles, representing for my Java homies. In by 9, out when the deadlines are met.
Check it.
We code hard in these cubicles. My style's nerd chic, I'm a programming freak. We code hard in these cubicles. Only 2 hours till your deadline, don't sweat my technique. Sipping morning coffee with that Java swirl. Born to code, my first words were hello world. Since 9 to 5, been Java coding, staying proud. Started on floppy disk, now we take it to the cloud. On my desktop, Java's what's bobbing and weaving. I got another winning app before I get to odd even. Blazing code like a forest fire, climbing a tree. Setting standards like IEEE. Boot it on up, I use the force like Luke. Got so much love from my homeboy Duke. GNU public license, it's open source. Stop by my desk when you need a crash course. Written once and my script runs anywhere. Straight thugging, mean mugging in my Aeron chair. All the best lines of code, you know I wrote them. I'll run you out of town on your dial-up modem. Cause we code hard in these cubicles. Me and my crew code hyphy hardcore. We code hard in these cubicles. It's been more than 10 years since I've seen a Borobor. Inheriting a project can make me go berserk. Ain't got 4 hours to transfer their framework. The cleaners killed the lights. Man, that ain't nice. Gonna knock this program out like Kimbo Slice. I program all night, just like a champ. Look alive under this IKEA lamp. I code harder in the midnight hour. E7 on the vending machine fuels my power. PS3 to smartphones, our code use never ends. Java's there when I beat you in words with friends. My developing skills are so fresh. Please discuss, you better step your game up on that C++. We know better than to use .net. Even Dan Brown can't code as hard as me. Java's getting bigger, that's a promise, not a threat. Let me code it on your brain so you never forget. We code hard in these cubicles. It's the core component of what we implement. We code hard in these cubicles. Straight to your Java runtime environment. We code hard in these cubicles. Keep the syntax light and the algorithm tight. We code hard in these cubicles. Gotta use Java if it's gonna run right. We code hard in these cubicles. Java keeps adapting, you know it's built to last. We code hard in these cubicles. Robust and secure, so our swag's on blast.
Code hard.
Rigel, Rob shot first, right around the corner. Stay tuned. Thanks, everyone.